Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast, the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, more than a lot of my podcasts, you're going to hear a story about how the Holy Spirit can change a life, change a ministry. It's an exciting story. I'm going to be having a conversation with Pastor Todd Mozingo of Revive Church in Stuart, Florida. And when I heard about his story, and when I looked him up online and found out a little bit about his church, I said, I want to interview him on the Strang Report. So stay tuned for my conversation with Pastor Todd.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Pastor Todd. I am so glad to have you on my podcast because, as I referred to in the opening, you have had an amazing life transformation when you experience the power of the Holy Spirit coming from a denominational background that, well, I guess people call them frozen, chosen, and they don't look at the Holy Spirit the same as you do now. So tell me what happened.
My goodness. This really started years and years ago when I was in a fundamentalist background, growing up in that kind of church and hearing about the Holy Spirit, but not really understanding who he was, or, you know, he was just the person that made you feel guilty about giving a dollar to the person on a corner, you know, and he was just there to convict you when you did wrong things, and became a pastor, pastored a church, a sizable church here in South Florida, and got an invitation to go to Bogota, Colombia, of all places, for a conference. And there was an annual conference there for pastors around the world. And so it was an honor and a joy to get to be there. Very long story about how all that played out. But the bottom line is, while I was there, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, literally hit the floor in a weeping mess. And the Holy Spirit just said, as clear as a bell to me, you've been talking about me for years. It's time for you to get to know me.
Wow.
And an entire new world in the Spirit just opened up for me. And I came back home excited, ready to share this with the church I was pastoring. And my eldership said, we don't want any part of that. It's time for you to go. We want you to resign.
Wow. You know, I, as a young adult, was coming up when the charismatic movement was coming. And we used to hear this story with some regularity. You know, Episcopal priests were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1967, which was a little before my time. The Holy Spirit was outpoured on the Roman Catholics. And Pentecostals, which is how I was raised, a lot of them didn't even think Catholics were saved. And here they were speaking in tongues. And that movement, of course, has morphed and changed a lot in the last more than 50 years. But, you know, millions of people have renewed their love of Jesus and their commitment to the church, you know, because of that experience. And we used to hear about this all the time. And of course, you know, publishing Charisma Magazine all these years, we've written many stories. I think of Dennis Bennett and a lot of other names that I could mention, but I don't hear it a whole lot anymore. And I know your story well enough to know the denomination you came from, and we don't want to mention it because I don't want to, you know, seem critical of anyone, but a lot of these people are resistant to this. They say these gifts ended with the early church in the first century. And the whole word charismatic movement, of course, charisma means gifts in the Greek language, and it was a renewal of those gifts in the church. And it involved things like, you know, a powerful experience with God. If anything, Pentecostalism has brought a power and a passion back in the church, going all the way back to Azusa Street. But of course, this is not a history lesson. It's your story. But I mean, I sort of understand this. And boy, when I heard it, you know, as I said before, I wanted you to tell this story. So let's walk through this a little bit, because I know down in Bogota that the conference was put on by Ricardo and Patricia Rodriguez, who are people I know personally. I've published their books or at least one of their books in Spanish. I had heard about their church, which is called Avivamiento.
Avivamiento.
Mm-hmm. Avivamiento. Thank you. You know, I took 3 years of Spanish, and I just mangled that. So,
not a problem.
It means revival, doesn't it?
And, it does.
You know, I've been to Latin America, never Colombia, but I've been to Argentina and Brazil and a couple other countries. And there seems to be an energy, a passion, a zeal that we don't even really see here in the United States. And the church down there is mostly, I'm going to use the word Pentecostal for lack of a better word. It's either they're Roman Catholic or they're Pentecostal. There's almost nothing in between, or they're, you know, totally away from the Lord, unchurched. And I know how I was affected. When I was in Argentina, I was in a somewhat similar situation. They were having a meeting in an arena. They called me up on the stage. Of course, I couldn't speak Spanish, but I said a few words and they prayed for me. And the next thing I knew, I was flat on my back. And yep. I consider myself a dignified person who's seen this a lot of time. And the last thing I want to do is have an emotional experience in front of 10,000 people, which is about the size of the crowd that night, as I recall. And so here, you know, you said you had this happen to you, but I know from your church background, you weren't used to seeing this. I mean, at least I'd been around it. I'd been around to Catherine Kuhlman meetings, Benny Hinn meetings, and seen this many times. What was it like to go into that meeting? You didn't know Spanish. Their worship style had to be very, very different from what you were accustomed to.
You know, the very first message given during the conference, he talked about John 16 and how Jesus said he's going to return to the right hand of the Father and how he'd be the Holy Spirit and he'll guide you into all truth. And he just flat out asked the question, in your life right now, who are you led by? Are you led by the Holy Spirit? And what we've seen in the United States is this big polarization between the fundamentalist and the Pentecostal charismatic. I didn't grow up in that. I grew up in the fundamental side. So for me, we see the polarization as, hey, you guys, you can't move or you're frozen unless the Bible says you can do it. And this side over here on the charismatic Pentecostal side says, hey, we're just experiencing power and the miraculous. And so they look at each other and they find fault. And I think the instruction that God gave us after this experience was it's time to bring these two polarizations back together. It's time for people to understand that the word is true and solid and foundational, but that same word tells you of power and experience and even emotion, which is okay, in the walk of the believer. And so that became kind of when we went down there, we were not expecting this kind of led by the Holy Spirit in a room of 20,000 people who seem to be emotional and enjoying their relationship with the Lord and connected and being led by the Spirit. So it was a little overwhelming, to be honest with you. And at the end of one of the services, they called us up on stage. Ricardo prayed over us, laid hand on us. Next thing I know, I'm going to see. And that's when the kind of whole thing fell apart at our church here. We began to recognize that this polarization had to stop and we needed to bring the power back to the church with the solidity of the word.
Boy, I'm so glad to hear this because this is a theme that we try to emphasize on an ongoing basis through our publications and books. R.T. Kendall, who is pastor
Good
for
man.
Many years, Westminster Chapel in London, his emphasis the word and the spirit, and
Correct.
Pentecostals believe the word. You know, and in fact, the joke is that, boy, if you don't believe every word of the Bible, you're just backslidden. But what happens is you get Pentecostal charismatic traditions going all the way back to Azusa Street in 1906. You know, something powerful happened when the Holy Spirit was outpoured there. But it was like the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, they said they were drunk. You know, they heard them speak in other tongues. You know, it was wild what was going on. And,
Correct.
You know, when you're touched by the Lord in a deep way, there is an emotional aspect to it. I mean, it's just like if you fall in love with your sweetheart, there's something emotional about it. If you don't really feel something and feel happy, and to me at least, you know, there's like something wrong with it. And we can shout and jump up and down for our home team, whether it's the Miami Dolphins or the Orlando Magic or whatever, and we're called fans, but if you do that in church, you're called a fanatic. I mean, you know, some of this is cultural stuff. But sure. Then on the other hand, you know, I've been in Pentecost my whole life, and if you don't have the real thing happening, people try to manufacture it. And sometimes the goal of a service is to feel a touch from the Lord or to feel the anointing. And sometimes you can feel a touch because you want to, but you walk out of there totally unchanged and not really impacting the world. But really, if people are empowered by the Holy Spirit, believe the Word of God, preach the Word of God, live the Word of God, that's when things are changed. And I'm just so encouraged that a revived church down there in Stuart is doing this kind of ministry. And, you know, getting kicked out of a church because of the Holy Spirit, as I referred to earlier, you know, this has happened many times to many people, and then you have to start over. So what was it like? How in the world did, you know, it sounds like you were invited to leave, so you probably didn't have a choice, but you had a choice on what you did in the future. So how did that come about? And then I want to find out about how your church operates. How are you influencing, impacting South Florida through your church and through the people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit as a result of your ministry?
Fair enough. I mean, as far as the departure goes, when I came back and expressed what had happened, and quite honestly, the services while I was there were live, so they were live streamed, and so the elder group had watched the video, they had seen what happened to me, they gathered me together, and with 8 days, I was gone. I was out of the church, doors locked, not invited to come back, and like I said, that was okay, because we watched the Lord work, and the Holy Spirit step in and said, hey, start something new. You know, there has to be a way. You know, growing up in my fundamentalist background, what I realized before in going to Bogota was how Jesus-centric I was. And I want to say this very, very, very clearly. Jesus is my King. He's my Lord. He's my Master. He's my Redeemer. But it was the very same Jesus who said, I am leaving. You are now to be led by the Holy Spirit. So there's no heresy, there's no sacrilege at all in saying, I am now following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my guide into all truth. And the Holy Spirit comes with power. The Holy Spirit comes with emotion. The Holy Spirit comes with signs and wonders and gifts and ministries and those kind of things. So we walk in those kind of things now in South Stuart. What we're doing is introducing the very Jesus-centric church, and I want to clarify what I mean by that. I think on the whole, the struggle in the basic fundamental church is that they are trying to be moralistic people, trying to be good people, trying to feed the poor and love one another and be kind. But the problem is that when disease comes or anxiety comes or depression comes, they're not equipped with any power. They've been being good, moralistic people, and now they're asking God, why did you abandon me? Where are you? Why am I suffering from this? And they don't realize it's the Holy Spirit's presence that comes, and the authority of Jesus allows you then to go against that disease, against that depression, against that anxiety. So you end up walking for years and years and years in an environment void of the power. You know, it says in Timothy, in the last days there'll be a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power. I see that as a demonstration of what's going on in the average church, not in the Pentecostal charismatic side. We can talk about that in a minute. But on the fundamentalist side, they're recognizing I am fully vested in trying to be moralistic, good people and expecting the blessing of God. And it's not that God's not blessing. It's that they don't understand how to work in the authority. They don't understand how to work in the gifting. They don't know the tools that have been put in their hand to walk in our belief, to walk out the Christian walk. We're still wondering if we just be good people, do we wait until Jesus returns and we go to heaven, or are we in the kingdom now, and is there a power and authority with which to operate?
Boy, that's exciting. And, you know, podcasts by their nature are short. Hopefully a lot of people will listen to this. And, you know, my podcast, the motto I have is to encourage people to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have in a powerful, powerful way. But I want you to kind of tell me and my listeners, if people came down to Stuart, to your church, Revive Church, or if they watched you online, I guess, or whatever, what would they experience? What kind of worship do you have? How does the church interact with each other on a daily basis? I guess I'm kind of mixing it up, wanting to have you describe a service. How do you minister the word? What did you preach on last Sunday, for example? I just want people to get kind of a mental picture of what we're talking about.
Well, last Sunday, we turned a fire hose on and asked them to drink fast. We talked about the story of David and Goliath is actually the story of Jesus and Satan, that it's you're not David in that story. Jesus is David in that story, and he destroys that leader of the enemy so that we can march down that hill and take on that demonic host. But what you'll find in a service is we have these stereotypes that if we're on the fundamentalist side, we're going to kind of do three songs and a prayer and take up an offering and have a nice 5 points to a better you or feel good kind of message, empowering, make you feel better kind of thing. And then we'll have our friendship and we'll go home. If you look on the charismatic side, oh, there's djembes, there's tambourines, there's people dancing, there's flags, it's crazy, there's shofars blowing. At Revive, we're saying we're just going to go in and give room for the Holy Spirit. So we do have contemporary worship, but you'll find it goes about an hour in just the worship side of it, and we give room to breathe in there, time for the Holy Spirit to talk, to move, to touch, to heal. We'll have a ministry time where if we believe the Holy Spirit is saying, you've got people in the room that are suffering from depression, we'll call them forward, we'll lay hands on them, we'll pray over them. We'll have a message that is scripturally based, but shows you the power of the Holy Spirit and what he's capable of doing through the believer today. And so the environment is one we call an encounter with God. We're not rushing. We're not stuck to an agenda. Our services right now typically run about 2 hours. And you'll find ministry time. At the end, there'll be people to pray for you, to lay hands on you. But maybe the stereotypicalness of the fundamentalist service versus the charismatic, you'll find that we're in that middle ground somewhere saying we don't have to run off of emotion, experience. We didn't come here to get a word from God. We came here to enjoy the word of God and watch it play out in our lives.
Boy, that's so encouraging. And I know that there are pastors who are listening who are going to want to connect with you somehow. So tell us how your church website. How would people contact Pastor Todd Mozingo?
You can reach me at our website is reviveusnow.com, reviveusnow.com, reviveusnow.com. And there will be a direct email link on there to connect with me. It's todm@reviveusnow.com.
Boy, that's really simple. And I don't make it down to South Florida very often, but I'm going to put it on my list to come and visit your church. My first cousin, Vicki Haley, is one of your members, and she's the one that told me about your church and your story. And, of course, I've been very close to Vicki my entire life. I will say that I'm 29 days older than she is, and she loves to remind me that I'm older than she is. But she's a wonderful person, and her husband, Jim, and I just wanted to give him a little shout-out because they're the ones that kind of connected us. And she is just absolutely enthusiastic about your church. And it was one of the things that, you know, made me want to research and find out more. But I really, really appreciate you sharing your story. I want to encourage my listeners to share this with others. We're going to play it up. I'll be sending it out as my own newsletter. I want to get out the word. It is so encouraging to hear how your life has been impacted, and now you're impacted your entire city through this church. And I know there are many other stories like it. And as we come across them, we try to report them either in print or online. And in this case, of course, a podcast. And so I just want to encourage my listeners to connect with Pastor Todd. So as we wrap this up, I'll give you the last word.
My last word would be that it's time for the church in the United States to recognize the word and the spirit together. Too much word makes us legalistic. too much spirit makes us emotionally driven. But when we bring those two together and we say there is a foundation for everything we do in Scripture, and in that foundation we find a power and an authority and a strength to heal and to save, let's bring the church back together with the Word and the Spirit.
So well said, and it makes me remember a preacher one time that he said, too much word and you dry up, too much spirit and you blow up, but if you have both, you grow up. And I just thought that
good
was
word.
Kind of saying the same thing in a kind of a, I guess, kind of a Southern country expression. So thank you, Pastor Todd Mozingo of Revive Church in Stuart, Florida, just down the road from me in Orlando. Thank you for being on my Strength Report podcast. And as I've referred to before, I really want to encourage the listeners to share this podcast, is as you share them is how the podcast has grown. We've had more than 11 million downloads. I've had two over 300,000, and I can guarantee you it was not because of our clever marketing. It was because it connected with people and they put it on social media. They shared it, they emailed it. And of course, we'll do our part to get the word out too. But this is a message that needs to get out. And so thank you. Thank you for listening. Tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.